This tape is a production of All Roads Ministries. It's called Basic Morality, and it intends to lay a format or a groundwork for the basic tenets of Roman Catholic, that is to say, Christian morality. Allow me, of course, to define a few terms. Morality are those rules, regulations, or guidelines which order man's proper behavior so that it will be according to God's will. That is to say, it is the way man should behave in order to be pleasing or sanctified towards God. The reason why the Roman Catholic Church has the obligation, the duty, the authority, and the ability to set the rules of morality, or more properly, to determine and validate the rules of morality, are more a proper role for the apologetic approach. And this organization offers several apologetic tapes, mainly the proofs of Catholicism, which will establish that the Roman Catholic Church has this authority. In this tape, we are interested in examining the philosophy of Roman Catholic authority to explain morality, but primarily we are concerned with the framework of that morality. If Jesus established a church to endure through all times, and if, as Jesus says in Luke's Gospel, that he who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, as he says when he sends the mission of the 72, and in the end of Matthew he gives the great command or the great commission that his church members should teach all people throughout the world what he, Jesus, has commanded them to do, then the institution which he founded, his church, must, in fact, determine and validate the rules. There are also passages which clearly state, specifically in Matthew chapter 16, that what, and in John chapter 20, that what man holds bound on earth, Jesus will hold bound in heaven. What man holds loose on earth, Jesus will hold loose in heaven. Now, when I say man in this case, what I mean is a human authority, not any man who claims to have the authority, but the hierarchical structure of the Roman Catholic Church. So much for a basic framework of authority. Let us now approach the basic concept of morality. One of the basic aspects of morality is that it takes place within a community. That is to say, that as via Adam, sin entered the world for all men and for all time, and as via Christ, salvation was made possible for all men and for all time, there is, in religious matters of sin and salvation, a sense of community. That is to say, one behavior, one procedure, one mechanism for all men, for all time. Therefore, a sense of orderliness is necessary in a community if it is to be a community rather than simply a collection of human beings. A community would be defined as a group of human beings who have a sense of belonging, have some sense of common interest, and have some care for the members of that organization. Morality, therefore, can be defined as the proper ordering of the community, in a certain sense looking at it from a purely human point of view. Roman Catholic doctrine, and of course morality, is based upon revelation, formal tradition, intuition, which is sometimes called natural law, and all of this is underpinned and supported by right reason, that is, by the proper use of the logical and rational function of man's mind. One way to look at the entire concept of community and, correspondingly, the entire concept of morality is to note that it has three aspects, namely man's obligations and activities towards God, man's obligations towards his fellow man, and man's obligation towards himself. If we look at this for a moment, we will notice that, as St. Paul says in his epistle, the sources of sin are the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world would be what conflicts with man's orderliness, his proper obligations to his community. The flesh would be that which wars against the proper spirit of man by which he tries to get closer to what he should be. In other words, his sanctification. And of course, the devil wars directly against God. It is interesting to understand morality in these three terms, for Catholic morality deals comprehensively with all three aspects and all three senses of obligation. With these two aspects in mind, that is the orderliness concept and the different directions of morality due to the different obligations a man has, let us deal with the first problem or difficulty dealing with morality, and that is the subjective versus the objective. In other words, the subjective wrong versus the objective wrong. Scripture has it that whatever a man thinks is sinful. By the same token, Scripture also lists a series of commandments and prohibitions that man must fulfill. When a man does something that is wrong, but does not believe that it is wrong, he has done an objective wrong, but he does not incur the full degree of objective guilt. However, he does, because he has broken a rule, he has violated morality, does oppose the orderliness of God's plan. Therefore, he causes a problem. He sets back the goal, the plan, the situation by which God has the community of man come closer to him. A subjective evil is one where man accepts what is wrong and does it. In fact, in this case, he may be doing something objectively good. This is a problem for morality. How does a moral system deal with subjective and objective good and evil? Basically, if a person has done something subjectively and he is not guilty of the act, it is because he is following his conscience. If he follows an objective standard of morality, it is because he is following truth, which has been made known to him. In order for the orderliness of the community to exist, in order to give God what is due God, and in order for a man to properly order his own spiritual hierarchy, he needs truth. That is, objective facts, verifiable, known, and understandable. Therefore, man is obligated to seek truth in order to form his conscience correctly. Even men who are deprived of Scripture and a formal tradition and of the formal church teachings, even for these men, their consciences can and will know some degree of truth. And if they reason on this truth rightly, they will ask God's aid in gaining more truth. And God will assist such a seeker in gaining further truth, until the man become converted or get to the point, as far as he can, unaided by supernatural grace, to become converted and accept Roman Catholic authority. As Jesus said in St. John's Gospel, as he stood before Pilate, the reason he came unto earth was to bear witness to the truth, and anyone committed to the truth hears his voice. And, as we stated earlier in Luke, those who speak for Jesus hear the words of, speak the very words of Jesus, so that when we hear them, we hear him. Therefore, Roman Catholic morality is based upon objective truth, the objective truth which every man must seek, the objective truth which comes from God, the objective unchanging truth that Jesus identified with himself when he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." The possibility of an improperly formed conscience by a man of goodwill is problematical. Although it is certainly theoretical possible, it is, in my opinion, not possible in reality. Any man of proper intelligence and who seeks the truth will come to the proper sense of morality and ultimately accept the Roman Catholic authority. At that point, he can no longer sin except by rejecting truth, which he acknowledges as truth, divinely instituted, divinely validated, and divinely verified. In other words, to remain outside the church in good conscience becomes impossible for those who seek truth. They may, of course, die before they get to it, but in that case, their conscience is still in a state of formation. This is the first problem. Therefore, subjective immorality, that is to say, the man who believes he is doing good when he is in fact doing evil, is a problem which pretty much disposes of itself if an adult person seeks the truth. And if he does not seek the truth, if he attempts to squash his own conscience or ignore it, or somehow ease the pain that his improperly formed conscience causes him, then he is not a seeker of truth, and he is responsible for his sin. This leads us to our next aspect of the basis of Roman Catholic morality. That is the concept of purpose, or natural order, or natural law. This is to say that God does not create uselessly. Everything has a purpose or a use that comes from God. And sin would occur and does occur when things are misused or abused. This is why Roman Catholic morality is undergirded by rationality. Man's mind was intended to recognize truth and to obtain it for man. As the mind does so, man learns more of God, more of God's revelation, more of the methods of knowing God, and more of the means of growing closer to God. Therefore, also, nothing on earth should be considered an end in itself, but rather a means. This is because man's end is God, that is, salvation. As St. Augustine put it, our hearts are restless, O Lord, until they rest in Thee. The purpose of man, the end of man, the goal of man, is to share God's life for all eternity in heaven, the beatific vision. Therefore, the only end is God. And, as God is necessarily good, all that comes from God, that is, all creation, must be good in itself. But, combining these last two thoughts together, that is, that nothing should be considered an end of itself, in itself, and that things must be good, the creation in itself must be good, but cannot be the greatest good, which is God. Therefore, all good things are good and useful. Proper morality occurs when things are used in their proper time and place. A very simple example of this will suffice, I believe, to explain this principle. Eating has the goal, the purpose, the end of sustaining life. Eating may also be done for pleasure, as long as it is also done for sustaining life. If, however, eating is done purely for pleasure, as the ancient Romans did, who ate, then vomited, then ate again, what we have is a misuse of a natural function, a misuse of a good thing, mainly food. It is a grace from God, a blessing from God, that eating, also can be and usually is pleasurable. In its proper time and place, therefore, one sustains one's life, which one is obligated to do under normal circumstances, and incidentally obtains pleasure from it. The Catholic concept of morality here is the proper place and time for eating and the proper goal, the proper method, the proper intention. All of us see something unnatural about the grossly overweight person. By the same token, most of us are naturally repulsed by someone who is excessively gaunt. This is what is meant by natural law. Our own intuition, the part of us that God creates in us to recognize intuitively truth, tells us that an abuse of the eating function, either way, can lead to the sin of gluttony or a sense of spiritual pride, leading to excessive abstinence. In either case, the gluttonous or the person who abstains too much would be committing a sin. And our own natural inclination tells us this as well as Catholic morality. For means of illustration, let us attempt to get more specific in certain issues. Let us deal with the property of goods, that is, property. Property is not an end in itself. If a man chooses only to gain a property, simply for the purposes of gaining property, he commits the sin of avarice. He becomes the miser. He cuts himself off from God, his own spirit, and his community. He cuts himself off from God because he treats the property as an end in itself. He cuts himself off from himself because he lowers, puts his proper order of values out of sequence. In other words, he forgets the end of man is not to acquire property. And he cuts himself off from the community because he misuses the property for only bringing about his own good. Let us expand on this slightly from a positive point of view. If one gains property, uses it properly, one is acknowledging that God has created material things and they are good. So therefore, this is, in a sense, an act of faith. Two, he uses the property for his own continued existence and, coincidentally, his enjoyment. In other words, he may properly use his goods, his properties, his possessions to bring about his health, his welfare, his recreation, his enjoyment. Three, if he has property more than is necessary for the sustaining of his own life and his family members, he may give alms and charity to his fellow man. Notice again the threefold orderliness here, the threefold directions towards God, towards oneself, towards the community. This is also why the Roman Catholic morality allows so-called stealing in order for one to maintain one's own existence. In other words, if it were a matter of involuntary starvation or taking the food from someone else that one does not have the money to buy, one may take the food. This is because man is more valuable than property. An illustration of this, of course, is clearly mentioned in Scripture when it is mentioned that the followers of Jesus would pick the grains of corn or wheat when they were hungry, even though they did this on the Sabbath. Also the gleaning custom of the ancient Israelites. The point here is that one can understand the basic morality dealing with property, good, and possessions in all three aspects. Most, if not all, moral decisions have all three aspects, although they are not easily understood at all times. It must be understood, however, that a moral aspect or a moral activity must be good in all three areas. Let us go to that distinctly Roman Catholic moral teaching of contraception. By this, we mean that contraception is wrong, is a sin. This appears to be a problem for many non-Catholics, and even for Catholics today. Many, unfortunately, accept it only as a church teaching and fail to understand the natural basis for it. Contraception is right for the following reasons. Again, our threefold division. Number one, it confirms that life is good, that people, being a creature from a creation of God, are good, and therefore it affirms this by bringing more life into the world. Number two, towards the self, contraception prevents activities of love taking place in marriage. The act of sexual activity properly expressed between a husband and a wife in marriage is a bonding, loving act which gives pleasure to both parties. Also is satisfying to both parties if done correctly. That is to say, with love. Love brings joy. So therefore, the self is also benefited by not having contraception. For contraception introduces an unnatural, artificial, and withholding act into the act of love. It is no longer an act of love in which both parties participate and give freely to each other, but an act of withholding and an act of simple sexual pleasure. The communal aspect in the sexual activity without contraception is so clear. It means that the community will expand and continue based on the activity of the people involved. We shall now examine what is wrong with contraception and why it is such a horrible sin. Contraception states the following. I, human, will determine that no child should be born at this time. No child should be conceived. What this act is a statement that the human does not believe God is intelligent enough to determine when a child is born. This is a human denial that God cannot make a mistake. It is a denial that God has a plan for every human that is conceived. It is a denial that God has a plan at all. The act of contraception is primarily one of atheism. But this is a philosophical point of view. There are also scriptural passages which confirm the same thing. Generally, a person practices contraception because he states that he is not likely to be a good enough parent. This is the so-called charitable view. The person is not mature enough or strong enough. This denies God's grace. For as the scriptures say, what is impossible for man is certainly possible for God. And, as St. Paul says, in our weakness, his grace is the strongest, the most fulfilling, and comes to a higher perfection. Also, by the same token, frequently those who practice contraception will say that they cannot care for the children materially. In other words, they do not have enough money. These certainly go against the words of Jesus recorded in Matthew and Luke, in which he says, do not worry about tomorrow for what you shall eat and what you shall wear. God will provide for you. In other words, the act of contraception is basically an act of atheism. It is a denial of God's foresight, a denial of God's knowledge, a denial of God's providence, and a denial of God's love. The act of contraception is, in essence, an act of atheism. Since the Roman Catholic Church proclaims God's existence as well as God's morality, it must now, as it has done in the past, and as it will forever in the future, oppose the act of contraception as one of the most immoral acts that man can practice. Also, as stated before, it has negative aspects on the self and the community. Now, at this point, allow me to bring up the concept of renunciation.
By this, I mean the voluntary giving up of certain good things for higher things. This is done frequently in Catholic morality in the concept of fasting, in which a person will abstain from the good act of eating for a better one, that is, disciplining the spirit, or abstaining, in which one will refrain from eating certain foods, usually meat, which are good in themselves, simply again to strengthen the spirit, for mortification, or possibly for offering up the suffering that is entailed for the souls in purgatory. There is no conflict between this sense of renunciation and the use concept as mentioned before, because the orderly concept of morality is introduced here. One will always give up a lower for a higher if one can achieve the higher. That is why I stated before that the taking of food is allowed for the sustaining of life, if one does not have the money to purchase it. Thomas Aquinas stated that virtue consists in doing what is good, not what is difficult. But some of us, as Jesus says in Matthew, are clearly called to a higher calling, namely of celibacy. And the Catholic religious community take the vows of celibacy and obedience, some also taking the vows of poverty. In this case, they renounce certain good things for a higher thing. Namely, they renounce normal relationships with people of the opposite gender in marriage. They renounce possessions, and they renounce some of their normal liberty. They do this in order to achieve a closer and higher relationship with God. To do this is simply to sacrifice some of the means to achieve more of the end. This is why there is no conflict in Catholic morality between the advocacy of celibacy and at the same time the opposition to contraception. Time grows short on this tape, so allow me a few more comments. Allow me to return again to the concept of natural. Natural means, among other things, the easiest and the one or the way to which man is most inclined. Therefore, morality is natural both in its inclinations and its results. Morality is what makes a man feel truly good, because he is more good when he is moral than when he is immoral. The inclination is what man seeks rationally as good and desirable, and that inclination is good. After all communities have held, and all histories written have shown that all communities have held, that men advocate among themselves charity, loyalty, honesty, chastity, fortitude, temperance, justice, and prudence. In other words, Roman Catholic morality is the codification of what God the Creator has already written in man's heart. One may ask then, why is it necessary to codify it? Because, as stated before, of the world, the flesh, and the devil, who war against man and attempt to confuse or deceive him. Therefore, it is better, and it is desirable, for a man to have, if he need it, because he be either weak or weak-minded, an unfailing source of truth. In conclusion, I would like to draw a few distinctions here. Morality is universal, but discipline is not. Discipline in this area is the mechanisms specifically on how morality is applied in specific or changing times and places. Disciplinary procedures may and do necessarily change. Ethics is not morality. Ethics is the proper behavior for specific groups of people in specific times or locations, such as professional ethics. Ethics are man-made. Discipline, however, can and should come from the Roman Catholic Church. So as an example, the changing of the regulations on meat being eaten on Friday at different times at different places is simply a discipline.